crashing down. Thought a few she recognized. Barstool stood up way too high. Santa whiskey.
Was Inner Glow by Andrea Nixon, a country and western singer-songwriter from Edmonton who's been a Story Hive Music Video Award winner and has had her music featured on CBC, SiriusXM, and Air Canada. I spoke with Andrea over Skype. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little about your musical history. Did you grow up in a very musical family?
I didn't, actually. My dad was a bit of a lounge singer before I was born, way back in the day. But he got sick when he was 34 with emphysema. So he stopped singing throughout my childhood. I heard that, you know, he sang, he played the accordion sometimes, but he was on oxygen. So that was a bit challenging. But I was just drawn to music from a very young age. You know, starting, you know, we went to parties every weekend and music, live music was a part of my reality. So it just was always this thing that caught my attention and caught my ear. And then when things were a little bit rough, I'd always go to songs to find solace.
Can you think of one particular album that was life-changing for you ever since you first heard it?
I would probably say Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. And that often comes as a surprise because I make country music. But I just remember like hearing it and just the artistic breadth of it, that she kind of did her thing. And she was speaking to a particular perspective that, you know, as a teenager coming up, I could just relate to what she was saying so clearly. And I thought she was really courageous. And so that was a real life changer for me.
Who are a few of your other influences at the time you were starting to develop your own sound?
Definitely classic country. So my own sound is really influenced by people like Loretta Lynn, Dolly Parton, Patsy Cline. I remember learning her greatest hits as a young girl just because I just thought there was something so special about the way you felt when you heard her sing. And I just always loved the sort of story atop a melody and how important those two things were to the entire composition. So that became really important when I was trying to develop my own aesthetic.
How do you approach your songwriting? Do your lyrics typically inspire your music, or are you more likely to start with a hook or a riff?
Generally, I will kind of storyboard my music. So it generally starts with the hook for sure. So that's kind of the central theme. But it is really the poetry that inspires the melody. So the words are definitely the most important thing when I'm trying to figure out how the music's going to work. So I kind of look at the way I look at it is making poetry sing. And once I've got my hook, and the verses are always a story, those are kind of the scenes in the movie. The hook is the meaning or the chorus formation. And then it's all about how that story would sound.
Have you ever had a song come to you almost fully formed?
Yes, that would probably be, there's a song called Breaking Through, a Madonna song on the album. And it's kind of funny because it came to me all at once. I actually had to jump out of the bathtub and record the voice memo. But I always say the song was like 20 years in the making because my dad had passed away 25 years ago. And then I lost my cousin, Nicole, and then my husband lost his cousin. So it was like, I was trying to write a song that would be sort of a consolation to the family because I'd been through that loss and had 20 years to look back on it. And when the melody finally came to me, it was like, jump out of the bath and go record that voice memo because it's done. Like the lyrics are with it and this is done. And so that was really nice to get a bit of a gift of the song.
You will soon be releasing your debut album, Diary of a Housewife. Is there a theme to the songs on that collection?
Yeah, it's definitely like the title is kind of the theme. I was, you know, trying to create sort of a collection of the 30-something-year-old woman trying to kind of come to terms with life. For me, I was a housewife, but I think it really doesn't matter what you do. It's kind of that woman washing the dishes, trying to sort things out. And I really wanted people to feel like they had come over and had coffee and we'd just discussed the meaning of things and what they wanted their kids to know and the experiences that kind of touched and formed them. So for me, this album is just like a warm cup of coffee and a couple girls chatting about life. And I think the perspective of a 30-something woman is harder to find in music now than ever. So I was really particular about putting it out as that.
It really is an ignored demographic.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. It's muted, right? And we're all listening to music, trying to find ourselves again. And that was the weird thing I found is as a teenager, as a young girl coming up, even as a child, I could find music that spoke to me when it shouldn't have. You know, it was way over what I should have been able to understand. And then as a 36-year-old now, and I started writing in my late 20s and early 30s, I wasn't finding myself there anymore. So I kind of just felt like if no one's doing it, I don't know how marketable this is going to be, but this is what my position is. This is what I can offer up the marketplace.
Tell me about your song, Waiting for Sirens, and the awareness campaign that you've launched in connection with that.
For sure. Most of the songs on the album are quite autobiographical, but I'm a teacher as well as a mother and a wife and a singer and a songwriter. And just sounds like a lot. But I was teaching, and throughout my career as a teacher, I've seen children that are raised in violent homes. So when I was a kid, you know, my dad was terminally ill, so there were sirens and I would wait for them. And it sort of started from that chorus. And then I was writing the verses as I always do, as, you know, storyboarding them and trying to figure out what story I wanted to tell. And I just said to Bobby, I'm like, I don't want to put my story into this song. I want to put those kids' story into this song. And I want to speak to those kids that are in the room when nobody really knows. And because as a teacher, what I find is when I'm working with those kids, you know, kids are always bright and they're full of life and they've got this inner glow, not to steal my own lyric, but they have this really special thing about them. And what I was finding with those kids is they had kind of gone dark and it was like, they need to be acknowledged and their story needs to be acknowledged. And we have to talk about what happens if we don't get to them and inspire hope. So that's really what that song was all about, is the impact of violence on children in homes where that is the norm and how it affects them moving forward and makes it hard to trust and love and be open and be bright.
She just can't forget the night, tires squealing, flashing lights.
racing through the cold November streets. Fist pounding on the door, daddy's who they're coming for. This time they'll take him when they leave. Taunted by the hurt on mama's cheek. Here's a screaming, someone help me please. Now she's waiting for sirens, scared of the silence. The story of mom and dad and all that love, but it wasn't quite the way it seemed. Night he took her into bed, wearing whiskey on his braid, till his rage came rising through the rain. Mama's pleading, the kids they'll hear. Daddy got too mad to even care. Now she's waiting for sirens, scared of the silence. She just can't believe in the good anymore. She tries to imagine that nothing will happen, but she's waiting for sirens to scream. Sirens. She found a man who's safe and strong, but she's bad and moving on. Though he's never hurt her, he just might. She wants to believe him well, says he'll love her till the end, but she's bound to run before he's gone. Pictures told a story of mom and dad.